Four match points have come and gone. Here's a fifth for Osaka. Serves down the middle and Kvitova puts it out! And we have a new star in women's tennis!
Hello and welcome to the AO Show. I'm James Parkinson. Day 13 and we have a new women's champion. Naomi Osaka has won the 2019 Australian Open. On the show today, we'll preview Sunday's men's singles final and we chat to Dylan Alcott. But first, all the reaction from the women's final. Naomi Osaka winning in three sets, 7-6, 5-7, 6-4. And we start today with how the match unfolded through the eyes of the fans.
Women's final tonight, we're excited.
Yeah, very.
Very excited.
Yeah, very excited. We came from Perth to watch it.
Who's going
to
win tonight?
Naomi Osaka.
Osaka.
Yeah, Osaka.
Petra Kvitova.
Petra Kvitova.
Slices to stay in this. There's the forehand slice from Osaka. Rolling a wrist over on that forehand. Kvitova stays on the same cross-court angle up the line. Osaka. And Kvitova tries to go cross-court, but hits it way wide. And Osaka has wrested control of this match.
Naomi Osaka taking the first set. Thoughts?
She's playing fantastically.
Look, she's a gun. What can I say?
What a woman.
Obviously a great contest. What did Naomi do to get on top?
Her first set is way too strong.
Just stay composed and, yeah, just switched on and was focused.
Hit the backhand down the line and really went for a shot, so she did quite well.
Kvitova punches the air. She's screaming. It's a great comeback from her. But it is a form of meltdown and Osaka going up to the umpire's chair.
Three championship points for Osaka and Kvitova finds her way back to win the second.
Yeah, we're absolutely chuffed. We're behind Petra all the way.
We're in dreamland. We're in absolute dreamland.
Go Kvitova. She can do it.
What was your take on the second set? What happened out there?
I don't know. She started crying and everything, so I think she's just stressed or something like this, yeah.
Yeah, she was really, I think things were getting to her. That's why she needs to calm down a little bit.
Kvitova goes right back down the middle of the court, but she left herself open, and the inside-out forehand was put away by Naomi Osaka for a winner, and she's getting close again.
Osaka's got that look on her face that says she's going to take it.
She's coming back. She'll be right.
On the backhand into the net, Kvitova going cross-court, and she's going through a slump, and it's not a good time to do it. Four match points have come and gone. Here's a fifth for Osaka. Serves down the middle, and Kvitova puts it out! She's no one-hit wonder. Naomi Osaka has gone back-to-back. The US Open, the Australian Open. She's beaten Petra.
Naomi Osaka, the Australian Open champion. How do you feel?
Very happy. Very happy.
Very happy.
Yeah, champion. He's a champion.
Oh, very happy. Yeah, I'm so excited.
Yes, go Osaka.
Well, what a match full of ups and downs and a well-deserved winner in Naomi Osaka. Let's hear from her now and what she had to say post-match.
I mean, I don't think it's drama. I had the match points on her serve. So, she's supposed to hold her serve and she's one of the best players in the world. So I didn't think it was drama. We just played a third set. If you consider that drama, then it's a fresh start, so... I don't know, I just felt like I didn't want to have any regrets. I think that if I didn't regroup after the second set, then I would have looked back on this match and probably cried or something. So I just thought to myself that this is my second time playing a final. I can't really act entitled, to be playing against one of the best players in the world and to lose a set and suddenly think that I'm so much better than her that isn't a possibility. I wanted to enjoy my time here. Last year I lost in the fourth round and now this year I was in the final, so I wanted to be happy about that and just basically have no regrets about today.
Yes, an incredible win from Osaka and that personality really shining through. For further reaction, here's Tim Solly.
My name's Stephanie Miles. I'm the editor-in-chief of Tennis.life.
What an incredible game of tennis. And what are your initial reactions from the match?
There was so much at stake for both of them. I don't think there was a bad outcome for tennis fans. You know what I mean? Either way, either one would have wanted it, would have been a great story. especially since they're, you know, number one at stake, not just winning a Grand Slam title. Tennis-wise, it was, you know, there was a lot of hitting the ball down the middle, but it had great momentum swings, and it had great fight, and it had some nerves, and it had all kinds of stuff. So it had all the drama that you would want in a women's final, and I think it was really sort of really enjoyable, and I think that both characters are so likable, each in their own way, and clearly have, you know, a lot of respect for each other. So you can't really ask for a lot more in a Grand Slam final. I think it pretty much had everything.
Let's talk about the seesawing affair. Obviously, Naomi, she gets 3 championship points in the second set. You'd expect her to go and knock it on the head, but then Petra, the champion that she is, she fights back and pushes it to a third, and it really could have gone either way.
Well, the hardest game to win in tennis is the last one, right? And she seemed smooth and fairly calm and collected the whole way, but then all of a sudden all you need to do is win one more game and one more point to win the match, and anybody in that situation, the racket gets a little tight, the hand gets a little, you know, clenched, and you maybe have a little trouble breathing a little bit, and she certainly fell victim to nerves when she tried to serve out the second set. But I think the fact that she was so completely annoyed with herself for letting that happen, allowed, and a little trip to the bathroom. As Kvitova said in her press conference, she said, I was in there before. There's nothing really exciting in there. But I guess, you know, she was able to get her calm back, get her mojo back. And I think that that's a nice sign of maturity from a 21-year-old, that it didn't get away from her. You know, she was able to just gather herself again and start playing her best tennis again.
Let's talk about the new champion, Naomi Osaka. What's your take on her game, and are we really seeing a champion for many years to come?
Well, of course, potentially. You know, the one thing that she has done that a lot of players have not done over the last 5 years is she's repeated. She's repeated. She's won the last 2 Grand Slam titles, which in the first one was in quite dramatic fashion, and this one was in slightly less dramatic fashion, but certainly it feels as though, you know, as much as everybody talks about, oh, any you know, woman can win, and there are so many players who could win on the WTA Tour, and there's so much parity, it's been a pattern that a player who has won a big title, it feels like it's been such a huge effort to maybe get above their comfort level or their ability to level to go out and get that title, that they've tended to have a big drop off after that. That it was almost like they needed recovery time. And in her case, it feels as though every Grand Slam title is very much within her grasp, you know, without having to overreach what she's able to do. And I think that that just speaks to how talented she is.
Stephanie, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate your help throughout the tournament.
Hey, anytime. You're welcome.
All right, now to look ahead to the men's singles final on Sunday, Novak Djokovic versus Rafael Nadal. Let's start with Djokovic. Here's Tim Sully with Sasa Yankovic.
Novak Djokovic, he comes into this final in great touch, doesn't he? Obviously, he'd be going in with a lot of confidence.
To be honest, I didn't think Novak's level was that high in his first few matches. He had a few dips, which are not characteristic for him in the matches against Tsonga, Shapovalov. Medvedev, of course, was also a tough physical encounter. But in the last 2 matches, and especially this completed match with Pui, he really raised his level. And it's not the first time that Novak plays himself into the tournament, not playing so well at the beginning. And then we've seen that a few times. For example, here in 2016, when he had that famous match with Simone, 104 errors, then went on to beat Federer and Murray in semis in the finals like it was nothing.
Tell us about the matchup with Novak and Rafa over the years. Who has got the upper hand, and does he come up against Rafa and actually feel a little bit nervous?
I think they're both nervous. Novak has won last 7 matches on hard courts. He's 18-7 head-to-head on hard courts, so that brings sort of an edge, but I don't think it really matters that much considering how well Rafa is playing and considering he's won 2 slam finals on hard courts. What I'm trying to say here is their matches usually come down to a few points. I know this is a cliche that most people say when big players face each other, but in their case, it simply is the truth, you know.
What will be the reaction in Serbia? Are people a bit complacent with Novak? He's won 6 titles here. Are they all a bit like, oh, well, you know, he might win another one? Or is there genuine excitement that he's in another final, he's going to face off against one of the best players of all time?
No complacency at all, but I've talked to one of the coaches, Petar Popovic. He coaches Olga Danilovic, that's a young up-and-coming Serbian player, and he says when Novak retires, we're in for a reality check. I don't know if you know, but when he won Wimbledon in 2011 and became number one player in the world for the first time, there was 100,000 people on one of the main squares in Belgrade. So I guess that tells you how big Novak is in Serbia.
Well, good luck. Let's see if Novak can come away with the number seven on the Australian Open tournaments.
Let's see. The emotions are going to be overwhelming for sure.
As for Rafa Nadal, he stormed through his opponents this tournament. Once again, it's Tim Solly with Javier Cortez.
Let's talk about Rafa Nadal. He's been on absolute fire this tournament. Some of the best tennis we've ever seen. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, for sure, because he was struggling a lot of time with his injury, and suddenly he came to Melbourne, one of his favorite cities, I mean in a tennis sense, and he's playing really, really good.
Tell me, he hasn't won here since 2009, so it's been a 10-year drought here at the Open. He's got to be hungry this time around, yeah. Do you think?
Even though he couldn't to get more titles in Australia, he always say that is one of his favorite tournaments because he loves this atmosphere, and he was a kind of bad luck here in the last years. For example, in the final in 2012 against Djokovic, that was really, really hard for him.
Tell me about the reaction in Spain at the moment. He's obviously a champion of all time. If he goes on and wins this, he's won two Grand Slams at each of the major tournaments. And he starts getting closer to Roger Federer's all-time 20 Grand Slam record. We could be witnessing the greatest player of all time. What is the reaction in Spain?
If I'm honest, I think the Spanish people mostly cannot believe that, because it's true that they started the last season really, really good. I mean, winning the French Open again. But then maybe he came down a little bit because Novak was really, really strong again. And the people, I think, that didn't expect that from this tournament because he was struggling with his injury, but he now is most strongest moment in all his career. I mean, in hard court especially, and that's like insane.
You mentioned that he changed his serve. Can you just tell us a little bit about that and any other things you've noticed that he's been working on with Carlos Moya, yeah, in the build-up to get better on hard court?
They told us that they were talking about the possibility of change a little bit the motion in his serve. The current motion is maybe more useful because Nadal can make the points a little bit shorter, and that is really, really good for him because he can save more time in the points and try to arrive at the last moment of the match with more energy.
Now to look at this matchup in a little more detail, I spoke with Marco Reed from the Game Insight Group.
Marco, massive final between Djokovic and Nadal on Sunday. How does this one shape up from a data perspective? Who's looking the best coming into this match?
Well, I think they're both looking good, right? Particularly when we compare maybe where Rafa's been previously to where he is this AO. Plenty of commentary around the use of his serve and his ability to reduce the length of points, which hasn't been a feature of his game in the past. Rafa's entering the final, the fresher of the two, in terms of having done about 20% less work than Novak. But by the same token, both athletes are elite, right? They haven't got more wearisome with age. So if it goes deep, I think we can expect both to bring their A games in the fifth.
So if you were to pick one weapon that both players have that they can use against the other, what would they be?
First and foremost for Rafa, it's the forehand. And that's been that way for his entire career. It hasn't gone away. And then with Novak in mind, essentially I think it's his movement. Again, we haven't seen that drift. He's been able to retrieve one extra ball, and it's always posed a bit of a challenge for Rafa. Interestingly enough, everyone talks to their head-to-head on a hard court, 18-7 in favour of Novak, but it's actually 2-2 in Grand Slam encounters on hard court. So it's going to be fascinating.
We've talked about a lot of the physical assets. What about the mental side of this game and how both players approach this matchup?
Look, the two over a long period of time have been among the game's greats, really, in terms of performing under pressure. Numbers like clutch and even pressure win weight reflect that these guys, time and time again, are able to step up and even outperform their own average in the biggest points of a match or tournament.
And lastly, who's your tip for the final?
Heart, Rafa, head, Novak.
Marco, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
To finish up today, we speak to a living legend of Australian tennis, Dylan Alcott, who has won his fifth consecutive Australian Open quad wheelchair singles title. Tim Solly has more.
Dill, huge week for you, mate. Obviously, the men quads singles, also winning the doubles with Heath.
Yeah, today meant a lot to me because of the huge media coverage, live on TV, main channel, commentators, Todd Woodbridge in the box, like they're in the bunker. I could see Todd in the bunker. I'm like, Todd, he's in the bunker. You know, like it was just incredible. And Wagner played amazing and I played amazing and I was just really happy with the result.
Mate, tell me about your motivations and fears coming into this tournament. You've had a massive schedule. I've seen you buzzing around backstage. You've always got time for people. Tell me about trying to get that balance right coming into this tournament. Yeah. You've had such a huge workload. How do you find that balance?
Oh, the balance is tough, and I'm a yes man, aren't I? And I always say g'day, but the reason I'm a product of the people that believe in me, and when so many people believe in you, you can't just go, oh, I'm not going to talk to you, and then expect people to come, you know, support your match and that. And people buy into the journey because they see a lot of you and things like that, and I'm not going to stop doing all the things that I'm doing because it's changed my life, and in some small way, hopefully it changes someone else's life as well.
Obviously, tennis is the vehicle, and you love the game, but obviously there's a bigger purpose here for you.
I love winning Grand Slams, but, you know, 14, 16, 18 Grand Slams doesn't mean as much to me as the, you know, profile build and being able to change that perception of people with disability. And today was a great example, just two guys in wheelchairs dominating their sport, you know, not talking about their disability, just being happy with who they are. And the amount of young people here with disabilities that are like, hey, I can do that now and I'm happy and I'm going to go to school and I'm going to have a smile on my face. And that's why I do what I do, and because I didn't have that, and it made it hard for me, and I never thought I'd get over that, and I actually hated who I was, you know, and now I'm so happy and proud to be disabled, and I want more people to have that feeling as well, and that's why I talk about it so much. My brother says I am kissed on the forehead. He says you are the luckiest guy in the world, and I am, because everything happens, like, you know, everything just falls into place for me, but you make your own luck, you put yourself out there and lucky things happen. So yeah, man, I'm stoked.
You've gone from inspiring disability athletes out there. There's a young disabled athletes everywhere now looking up to you. But I think it's more than that now. You've captured the imagination of the whole public. What does that feel like for you?
Oh, man, it makes me unbelievable. It really is. And, yeah, I knew disabled people get around me, but for the able-bodied world to get around me. And, you know, I went up to Stefanos Tsitsipas. I was like, g'day, mate. I just want to introduce myself. My name's Dylan. He goes, Dylan, mate, you're the most famous guy here. Love what you do. I was like, what? That's unbelievable. Because it's normal. And that's, yeah, it means everything.
And that's it for day 13. Just one more day to go. Congratulations again to Naomi Osaka. And please join us again for day 14. See you then.